This is the Saddled Stallion podcast, where men are equipped and encouraged to understand their wiring, clarify their mission, and find purpose along the path to its fulfillment. I'm your host, Chad Kanier, and I'm stoked to have you here. Let's roll. This episode is about accountability. This episode is about accountability. It is about the importance of accountability in today's world. Listen, we have a problem in our society with accountability. Something happened when we started measuring everything, right? There's data on everything now. And when we introduced numerous additional layers of communication to prevent us from having face-to-face conversations. Hell, even when we're having face-to-face conversations, 80% of the time we're doing so over a video screen. And on those calls, the only way for me to be perceived as making eye contact in a moment is for me to stare at the little webcam circle on my laptop. That's super awkward. I hate doing it. There are times where I have been speaking to someone on a video call and they are, in my mind, making eye contact with me, but they're actually just staring at a little circle above my face, about 2 inches north, in order to be perceived as making eye contact with me, which is actually a very mature professional tactic. But at the end of the day, it is not nearly as powerful as is being in a room with someone or being physically in front of someone without a mask on and making a commitment to someone to do something, aligning with someone. Now, I've just described a work scenario, but I'm going to talk about 3 different realms in our life, whether you can connect on work or personal or with kids or any of these other realms, in which accountability is suffering to the detriment of everyone involved, and some things that I've learned about reinstilling accountability into a process, into a culture, into a situation, into a relationship. And I kind of struggled with how to frame all of these things, how to package them, if you will. And the way I came up with is that accountability is essential at 3 different levels. I should say in 3 different scenarios, and levels are a part of those scenarios. It's important when we are looking down. It's important when we are shepherding others. It's important when we are responsible for people who are, quote unquote, under us. It's important when we are leaders in a certain scenario and others are looking up at us for guidance, for coaching, for responsibility, for growth, for challenge, for accountability. It's also important when we are working with people at our level, when we are interacting with people that are quote unquote equals. Outside of work, this would be a teammate on a sports team of some sort. This would be a project team member if you're working on something with someone else. Maybe you're part of a nonprofit organization. Maybe you're throwing a local benefit, what have you. It could also just be friends, people who you meet, people who are you are collaborating with them in any capacity. Hell, you are planning a potluck. You are getting your kids together for a play date, just that level, right? Of they are at my level. And then thirdly, it's important when we are looking up. Now I'm going to extrapolate there when we get there. But let's start with the importance of accountability within the construct of looking down, being in charge of others, being responsible to others. Because isn't that an interesting dynamic, is that when you become a leader of people, whether you're a leader in your home as a mother or a father, you are a camp counselor responsible for the 7 kids that you were assigned this summer, or you are leading a team at work, you are responsible to them just as much as they are responsible to you. people have a tendency to believe that leadership is a freedom zone. It's actually quite opposite. There's pressure as a leader. We have the unique ability to grow other people. And in short, if you are not holding people accountable who are under your care, you are providing a disservice of disengagement in their life. If you are in a position to be speaking into their life, to be helping them set goals, to be challenging them to pursue the accomplishment of those goals, to be giving them coaching and teaching and encouragement and feedback as they work or do not work towards the attainment of those milestones, if you are not taking advantage of that opportunity, you are doing a disservice not only to them, restricting their ability to grow into who they are called to grow into. There's a reason they're under your care. But you are also performing a disservice to yourself, because when we grow others, we inherently grow. Because growing others is hard. Growing others forces us to evolve the way we approach coaching. Growing others forces us to read books about how to grow others, which I'm doing right now. It is forcing us to challenge the way we've always operated, because we are now entering a new realm. We are no longer only responsible for what we output, for what we create, for what we say, for what we do. We are now responsible for what our team outputs, creates, builds, says, does. And that is pressure. There is more accountability on a leader. I encourage you, if you are entering a season, or you already are in a season in life where you have the awesome opportunity to hold people accountable to what they commit to, then I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity for your growth and for their growth. Now, there's a very simple but sometimes difficult process of holding people accountable. Now, it's something I do with my kids that is very simple, but it's also very difficult because they're children. We make star charts. Okay, we have, each kid has three goals, things they're working on, right? It's really behavioral issues at this point. They are 6 and 4. My son Cal is 1. I'm not going to make him set behavioral goals. I would just be, one goal is just grow up. We'd put a star next to the days where he's growing. He'd have a lot of stars. With Deacon and Mila, they have specific elements of their character that have a tendency to play a more vicious role in the aggravation of mother and father. And so we have, of course, set quote-unquote goals that are in line with these areas of annoyance and preposterous behavior. Now, it's important for them to understand that if they achieve a certain number of stars per week, 7 days a week, 3 stars eligible per day, ding, 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 21 eligible stars per week. If they are able to reach the threshold of the number of stars that puts them in a realm in which they may or may not be rewarded with something tangible and or something intangible that we literally come up with on Saturday when we realize we're running out of time, it helps them understand the new domain in which they're operating. There are now rules. There is structure. And by God, their change in behavior, when there's a star chart stuck onto our refrigerator that I quote unquote crafted 5 minutes before we head off in the morning one day to school with construction paper and a marker and some colors, there is a massive shift in their psyche, I swear. Now, I don't have to threaten spankings anymore. I don't have to threaten loss of dessert anymore. And yes, I do spank my kids. I care about my kids. And so yes, I spank them. I punish them because they're little Neanderthals, okay? Don't judge me. Email me if you got an issue. Be a nice exchange. It's crazy how much that piece of paper means to them. It's insane how much leverage we can get with that thing. And it's not just leverage. We see changes in their behavior based on them being held accountable to their quote unquote goals slash please change or I'm going to off myself. This experience has had me thinking about different scenarios in my life where I have been held accountable to goals. Little story. I had a boss, probably the best boss I've ever had, at my last company. It was a consulting business out of Dallas, Seth. And I loved working for Seth because he's very similar to me. Some would classify him as aggressive because he knows what he wants. He often thinks he's right. Now, he's amenable. Like, he's a realistic guy. You can spar with him and he can take your stance eventually, but there will be some sparring, so you better come prepared, right? He's brilliant. And he challenged me before we left every meeting. He would say, okay, so you're going to do these three things. We talked about it. He would rehash it. I think it was his mental way of cataloging it in his mind in order to hold me accountable, which is terrifying because I know he'll never forget anything. And also just making sure I understand with clarity what the expectations were. There was no question ever whether he was my superior. He was my superior. I did what Seth wanted me to do, flat out. He hired me. He was my boss. He was a partner at the consulting firm. Do what Seth says. Just do it, okay? And I appreciated the clarity that came from that. Because guess what? When I messed up and he had to call me and say, you're not doing very well in this category, I was challenged, but there was never a question of whether I deserved that phone call. He was always fair. I always knew where I stood with Seth, which I appreciated. And when he showered me with praise, it meant even more because I know he wasn't BSing me. He was genuinely proud of my work and he wanted to call me and say, Chad, you're doing a great job. And I would say, wow, I genuinely am doing a great job because Seth is a straight shooter. If I wasn't doing a great job, that phone call would have been different because I went through a few different phone calls with him. I appreciated the clarity and the accountability. It was empowering. It was clarifying. It was challenging, but I grew. And so that's when you get into personality types. A lot of people in this world get so uncomfortable being held accountable that they're missing out on a growth opportunity. They cannot handle the notion of being held accountable for what they commit to, being accountable to what they're responsible for. And so they actually miss out on the opportunity to grow. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be too bullheaded to receive the feedback and the accountability that I need in order to become more excellent, in order to become better, in order to become smarter, in order to become more dynamic, etc. And so that is a dynamic that I've tried to create in my home, and we make a million mistakes. And sometimes, like I said, it's Saturday, and Deacon has achieved the threshold 17 stars out of 21, and he's like, where's my payoff? Where's my payoff? And we have to pull something out of our hats like, well, you don't get rewarded for being great. You just have the knowledge of being excellent. It's just horrible. Like we need to give. In fact, I need to hold myself more accountable to how I'm holding them accountable and the payoff for such. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. So I'm just going to steer clear away and avoid accountability on this topic. But here's the thing that we need to incorporate into this as we think of looking down, growing others, shepherding. The goal of holding people accountable cannot be to call them out on their mistakes, nor should the purpose of it be to celebrate how perfect someone is. To say, look, you got 17 out of 21 stars. You're a good kid now. Like they have to earn the classification of being a good kid. Now, to some extent they do because data is data. And if you do bad things, you're not going to be a good kid. But I want them to always know that they are loved regardless. They could have 0 stars out of 21 stars on there, and I will still love them dearly. But without some sort of standard, without some sort of goal, the conversation about whether you're a good kid or whether you're a bad kid and whether you're loved and whether you're not loved is completely subjective. It's completely esoteric. It is completely unable to be comprehended by a human mind. And this is what's so interesting. God does the same thing with us. See, a lot of people have a perception that if you are supposed to be a Christian, that you need to subscribe to all these rules. And of course, when you become a Christian, because of the love that you have received from God, you naturally, it's organic, it's genuine. I naturally don't yearn for the same things I used to yearn for. I genuinely have changed. It's not me paying penance, and it's not me white-knuckling certain things to no longer do them. There are things like that that I still struggle with, absolutely. But my old self, my old personality, my old yearnings, they're just not as poignant anymore. And part of that comes from being loved by a God, and by spending more time with him and knowing him more, I want to be more like him. I want to be more like his son, Jesus. And so it changes me. However, he never changes the fact that there are rules. I mean, the Ten Commandments, you guys know about these. Most people know about the Ten Commandments. In fact, a lot of people who don't believe in Christianity, don't believe in God, say, oh, I don't know, man, it's all about rules. But what they're missing is that if you read the Ten Commandments, there is absolutely no human on the face of the planet who has ever been able to satisfy even one of those things. In his heart, absolutely, we have all committed one of those things. There's no such thing as ending life and being like, well, I knocked out those Ten Commandments. And so why would God even have that? Because if you don't even have a star chart, there is no model against which I can have the conversation with my son and say, you only got 7 stars this week. I love you, and I see the effort that you're making at those 7 stars. And you know what? I love you no matter what. And guess what? This is what God says. Guess what? I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. You have 21 out of 21 stars. All you have to do is say, thank you. I could never make 21 stars. I just want to be with you. Teach me how to be better, for not just for your sake, not just because there's some standard I have to live by. I need the 21 stars. You think God cares? No, it's because he wants to show us his character by saying, hey, show me how many stars you got. Yeah, I don't care. You have 21. And so it's kind of the same philosophy with my star chart for my kids. Of course, we're going to strive to be excellent. Of course, I want them to set goals to be better. Of course, I want to be able to hold them accountable. Of, you have to be kind to your sister or you're not going to get your star. Of course, I'm trying to generate the right behaviors in my kids. But does that have anything to do with my love for them? No. No. You need a framework against which to even have a conversation about grace. You need something against which to throw it out. You need something to rip in half and say, I love you no matter what. So that's when you're looking at the people around you that you are shepherding, the people you are responsible for. At work, I think it's very simple. It's a star chart. No, I'm kidding. At work, it is a clear list based on their goals. And this is something I can't wait to do with the people who I'm going to manage. I am going to help you set 3 goals for this period of time, this quarter, this week, probably not week. I want to help you based on your aspirations, based on your areas of development. I want you to set 3 goals, and I want you to make them specific. I want you to make them measurable. I want you to make them actionable. I want you to make them realistic. I want you to make them tangible. SMART goals. Have you ever heard about that? It's actually a good acronym, SMART goals. I want to help them set realistic goals. And then my job is to just have the conversation on a weekly basis. How are we doing against your goals? How simple is that? It's so simple, but I've only known maybe one boss, not even Seth. He was great in a million categories, but we never had goal setting conversations like that. I've only had one boss maybe who actually helped me set goals and then cared enough about me to follow up and have conversations about those goals. In this day and age, guys, with everyone running around and everyone being so obsessed with getting promoted and everyone get so obsessed about humble bragging on LinkedIn about how, oh, they're so fortunate that they've been promoted, whatever. You're just telling the world you got promoted because you need to feel, that's so sad that you need to do that. In this day and age, it is so powerful just to care about people enough to hold them accountable to their goals that they set. And you can obviously coach them as they set goals, right? Where else is accountability important? With people at our level, right? And for this, I saw a great quote on this that I just have to share. Pat Summitt, I think she's the winningest female college basketball coach in history. I think she coached the Tennessee Volunteers. Responsibility equals accountability equals ownership. And a sense of ownership is the most powerful weapon a team or organization can have. Ownership. There is something cool with ownership, right? So we're talking about friends. We're talking about teammates. We're talking about colleagues. Now, when I think about friends, it's not just friends who you just hang out with, have a good time. It's friends who believe in something that you believe in, something that you guys all want to fight for, something there's a special interest that you guys all have, right? I'm thinking of like a fitness interest, right? A CrossFit interest. You're all new moms, right? There's a shared understanding. There's an ethos. There's a goal. There's a shared important thing that you guys all believe in. You're all bought in. In fact, that is one of the driving forces that is undergirding your relationship. In this world, you have to be united for excellence. So many people miss the beauty of friendship. And I'm not talking about people you get together and get hammered drunk with. Those often aren't real friends. In fact, I have a lot of friends in my life who are very much my real friends. We have very deep conversations. We talk about very real things. We also have gotten very inebriated together. And that was kind of like our old, you know, way of living. And now it's like, hey, we'll have one or two beers, maybe three if you're feeling crazy. If like you're not on dad duty that night, you know, but it's different now. Obviously, like we're adults and we don't need to binge drink. We're not proving anything. But I'm not saying like if you've had those kind of relationships that they can't turn real. But more often than not, friends are people who believe in something that you believe in, and they are willing to hold you accountable to the ethos that you have perceivably all submitted to. If you have a friend like that right now, pat yourself on the back. That is a victory. Again, especially in this day and age where we have literally misclassified friends as people who follow us on social media platforms that are only partial representations of real life. Okay, so if you have a friend who cares enough about you to say, hey man, that activity is not good for you. I thought we both believed in this. Hey man, you told me to hold you accountable to this thing. Why are you hanging out with those people? Hey man, listen, you say you want to get in great shape. We got this event coming up, but I don't see you training. I see you drinking a lot. I see you eating crappy food. You're shoving bacon burgers down your face and you're not getting ready for this event. What gives? What's the deal, man? You want to do this thing or not? Oh man, can I get some friends like that? Can I get some friends like that? In this day and age, oh my, I'm so offended that you give a damn. No, no, no. I welcome friends like that. Anyway, this is also a manifestation of my former athlete days. There is something beautiful about team sports because you know what they teach you? You will not win the game if 3 out of 11 of your guys don't know their ass from their elbow. They need to know what their assignment is. They need to practice really hard until they're kind of good at it, good enough to make the state championship game. And they need to work hard in the game to do their job. I used to be the middle linebacker, and my job was to know everybody's job because for some reason, Johnny can't remember how to play defensive end, and I have to hold him accountable on 2nd and 3 to do his freaking job so that we can get off the field. And our offense can get back on the field. Accountability. I built that muscle since I was 8 years old playing football. A lot of people didn't play sports, and you can learn it in other settings, probably not as well. A lot of people just feel awkward when people are like, hey, you're supposed to do the thing. You didn't do the thing. Can you do the thing? It makes them feel all awkward. Oh no, someone cares. Someone wants to win. It's not about you and your ego. We need to be united for excellence here. You have a job, do your job. There's a great scene in a great movie called Remember the Titans. If you haven't seen it, go see it now. Stop listening right now. Go watch the movie. Denzel Washington, fantastic movie. there's this great scene. There's racial issues between these teams. There's a white football team and a black football team that have been like, the school districts have been rezoned, and it was a mixed race school for like one of the first times. I think it was in like Alabama or something. Can't remember. You know, they're away at this football camp in the summer, and they're learning how to like play together, right? And there's like studs that came from both teams who they all want to be Mr. Man. So there's this clash happening. And there's this one scene, Julius Campbell is this young black like stud who is not the team captain or whatever, but he's a big playmaker on defense. And so it's important for him to build a relationship of some sort with the middle linebacker for the, like the white middle linebacker, a resident like stud team captain guy. It's important for them to build a relationship for everyone else to gel. They are the leaders, right? And there's a scene where Julius Campbell holds Gary Bertier accountable for his lack of holding the rest of his teammates accountable to their job based on racial conditions. So what he's saying is, hey, your buddies on offense who are white, they refuse to block for my black buddies, and they're making my black buddies look bad, and my black buddies are going to get hurt if you don't start holding that true team captain status and holding everyone accountable. Gary Bertier is saying that it's an attitude problem. He's saying, Julius, it's all about you. You don't care about the team at all. And this is what Julius responds with. He says, attitude reflects leadership, captain. So what Julius is saying is, screw you. It's mostly what he's saying. But he's saying, hey, if you're going to try to hold me accountable, you need to hold the rest of the team accountable. And you are playing favorites that satisfy your station. You are caring only about yourself. You're just doing it in a more complicated manner than I am. So Julius flips accountability and he says, I'm holding you accountable, Mr. Team Captain. You're not doing your job. And that is a huge pivot point in the movie, because Gary Bertier starts to hold his white buddies equally accountable as he is Julius Campbell, Mr. Stud on defense, who he knows he needs to partner with for everything to trickle down and for the team to fall in behind him. And it's a huge shift. The team starts to gel and they start saying, oh, wait, essentially the white buddies on the team start saying, oh, Gary's going to hold me accountable. He's not going to play the race card anymore. He's not going to only protect his white buddies. That team became united for excellence when awkward accountability was given. And guys, we need to build this muscle as leaders, as men, as strong people. In this weak world, we need to set a standard of having awkward, accountable conversations so that people can grow, so that we can achieve things as a team that we need to achieve. We will never reach our full potential if we are not willing to hold ourselves and others accountable. Again, it's not about being perfect. It's not about the 21 out of 21 stars on the star chart, so you can turn around and say, look at all my stars. It is saying there is a standard that we are setting. There is a pursuit of excellence that we all must subscribe to in order for all of us to reach our full potential. Are you with me? And a lot of people might say they are, and they're really not. And a lot of people might say they aren't, and they can be worked into it because they start seeing the growth that everybody else is experiencing. Will you answer the call to be held accountable and to hold other people accountable? The world needs people to do that desperately. The third area where accountability is paramount and often overlooked is when we're looking up. Right, so we've been in this scenario where we're looking down, we're growing others, we're shepherding a group. There's people who we are responsible for. We've looked at accountability in the world of people, just our peers, the people we are partnering with to live a better life, right? Whether it's friends, it's teammates, it's colleagues, whatever it is, right? But what about accountability when we are looking up? Now, I want you to define this yourself. I want you to think about maybe a scenario that I described my relationship with my former boss, Seth, where I accepted his accountability, right? That is how you could think of this. You could also think about this as a dynamic of you and some sort of higher power. It doesn't have to be my God, okay? it can be something where you answer to a standard. You answer to a way of living. You answer to principles, if you will. A lot of people, what I've noticed is they appreciate a lot of things in their lives. There's a sense of nobility in certain things that they say, oh, I like that. That's nice. That feels right. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to grab that and I'm going to put that on my character tree. And that's going to be something that I value, right? That's part of what I believe in, right? And they kind of just put it there on a tree, and there's different little ornaments you can put on a tree. And one of the ornaments is treat others like you want to be treated. Okay, yeah, got that. That's a golden rule. I'm going to look over here too. I heard this great podcast, and people talk about how, you know, when you hire someone, you should ask them, would I work for them? Before you hire someone, would you work for them? If the situation was randomly just different, would you work for them? That's a great metric. That's from Mark Zuckerberg, by the way. It's like, would I work for them if the tables were turned? I'm going to put that on my tree. I like that. But the problem with that is that we don't bring the tree everywhere with us. And the problem with that is that my tree can look different in different seasons, right? And I might be living in an angle of life where I look back at my tree and all the ornaments are on the other side. I can't remember exactly where I placed that ornament. I knew it was really important to me. Oh, I'm going to sift through my notes on my iPhone to find where that ornament is that I saved. It was really important to me. But guys, in the moment, there's no time for that. There's no script to go back and reread. You can't turn the tree. When you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and you need wisdom and you need a standard and you need to be able to pull from that ethos that you subscribe to, there's no model. And I just wonder, I wonder, I know so many great people who don't believe in anything and I love them. It's not a judgment thing. I just wonder if you're one of those people who simply believes that your standard of living is just, it's this liquid thing that you can create as you go. And it's this little, you take little gleanings here and there and you pin them on your tree and you're kind of just, you're doing whatever you want. You're kind of grabbing from these different sources and you're saying this for whatever reason, whether it's my genetic makeup or my experiential makeup or whatever, I just value that. And it's interesting how so many other people value that. But yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to put it on my tree. If that's your standard for living, if there's no hard and true standard that you have to live up to, wouldn't your standard inherently evolve into just whatever helps you survive and be comfortable? Like if I'm only grabbing things in life that I like and I'm putting them on my little tree and I like that, you just have a tree of stuff you like. And I'm sorry, but there's no accountability in that. You know why? Because as soon as I don't like something on the tree, I just take the ornament off and I throw it in the trash. Or I say, oh, that was really cute ornament back in the day, but I'm going to take that off and I found another one that's better. That little area of the tree, that's all about goal setting. I learned something even better from that podcast from that other person who might be building their own tree and just touting that they have the wisdom, and why trust them? And I'm gonna replace that little ornament with this more embossed ornament, right? What makes that tree special? That tree is essentially just a collection of things that make you feel fuzzy. No. I want a standard that I didn't create. I have to have a standard that I didn't create. And here's the thing is I didn't create Seth's standard for me. I did not. I didn't say on my first day of work, I didn't say, here's how it's going to go, new boss who's paying me my salary and got me this opportunity at Toyota and could fire me in this moment. Here's how things are going to work. I have this tree with ornaments filled with things that I value. And if you try to coach me in a way that does not conform with my values tree, it's just not going to work out. I would be fired before I could finish the second sentence. I did not create the model against which I was evaluated by Seth for the duration of our relationship at Toyota. But I valued the accountability. I didn't love everything Seth did, but I valued the clarity of the responsibilities. I valued how direct he was. I valued that I always knew where I stood. I valued the fact that he could say, these three things are your responsibility. Kick ass at all of these things. If it's not one of these things, do good stuff on it, but it's not your job. Tell me if those things become too big. Very simple, very straightforward, very clear. I had to subscribe to his model for accountability. I didn't get to set it myself. And honestly, if I did set it myself, I would have been floundering and I would have been confused and I would have been pleasing the wrong masters on that account and I would have been running in directions I did not need to run in because I knew that he was positioning me for success. I knew he was in rooms saying, Chad would kick ass at that. He's going to do that. I'll make sure he does that. And then when I delivered, guess what he did? He turned back to those same people and said, didn't Chad do an amazing job? If we are so adamant about writing our own rule book and quote unquote, holding ourselves accountable to those standards, we are fooling ourselves that we're going to grow because your Instagram feed keeps scrolling because there's about 1,000 new books every hour that come out that are self-help that you can pluck from and stick on your tree. Do you actually trust yourself well enough to hold yourself to a standard that you created? What a joke. I don't know about you, but I usually have goals in the morning and by 11 a.m., I'm already shaky on three of them. Because I'm a human. If you don't have some sort of standard that wasn't created by you, at least it wasn't created by only you, you won't know where you need to grow. You won't be pressed into situations where you say, this is uncomfortable, but I'm growing. I know I'm growing. There's nothing that's going to challenge your nature because you're just going to keep edifying and tweaking and refining your nature so that it's comfortable. Don't you want to live a higher calling than that? Than comfort? You won't know why you're here if you set your own standard. You won't even know your weak spots. You won't even know your strengths because you're going to be flailing in the wind, redecorating your freaking tree. Again, it is not about measuring up. In fact, your standard for the tree is way more in line with measuring up because what you'll do is you'll tweak the tree to make yourself feel better about how you're measuring up. You'll say, oh, I've learned that actually, integrity is actually not that valuable to me. It's lower on the tree than financial success. So, you know, it's okay. I work hard. Sometimes I need to make more money than others. What makes them more deserving of that money? Oh, so the integrity is now lower on your tree. You can shuffle the tree however you want to make yourself feel better. Lack of accountability to something you didn't create is a problem. It's not about measuring up. It's about knowing yourself. Part of knowing yourself is knowing how weak and flailing we are, right? It's about growing yourself against a standard. You cannot do that without looking up, looking at a standard that is hard to attain, a standard that is difficult to always agree with. We don't always have to understand everything for it to be right. You don't always have to understand why a rule is the rule. Maybe you're just not intelligent enough to understand why it's there. Could there be a statistical feasibility that you don't understand how the entire universe works? A lot of people still don't understand how electricity works. Yet we need to proclaim that we have all the answers to life, the way we should live, and we're not able, because of our egos, to subscribe to some standard that we didn't create. Huh. We use electricity every day. We rely on electricity to survive every day and to live our lives. And a lot of us don't even understand how that works. But for some reason, I'm the captain of my own life, and I don't need to listen to anybody else's standard. I'm just going to create mine as I go. That's just, you're a walking hypocrite. At the end of all of this, what do we learn from accountability? What is the secret across all these domains to accountability? The secret to accountability is to be humble about your humanity. When you invite someone to hold you accountable, when you get a group to be united for excellence, when you lean in and when you help them set goals and when you hold them accountable to goals, when you subscribe to a standard that you didn't set, something hard, something challenging, something that's going to press you and shape you into a better person, what are you really doing? You are admitting that without accountability, you cannot grow. You are admitting that you're broken. You're admitting that we all know at this, at the end of the day, you all know that you're a con artist, that you're a cheat, that you're a weasel, that we're snakes. We get out of things. We're weak. We commit to things at 9 a.m. and by 11, we're shaking in our boots. We are horrible at this. I'm like a follow through guy, and I'm kicking myself every day about what I didn't follow through on. I'm like, I wrote it down. I looked at it at lunch. It was a priority at 2:30. And by 5, I was like, not important. What? How is that even possible? Without accountability, we don't become the people we want to become, the people we need to become. So accountability is not a bad thing. It should not have a negative connotation. It should be a pathway to growth. We should see it as an opportunity to grow. I encourage you, whether you're looking down, whether you're growing others, whether you're just partnering with people to go after something, to do something, to believe in something together, whatever it is, or whether you're looking up, invite accountability. Invite it. It truly is one of the best pathways to growth.
Thanks for listening to the Saddled Stallion podcast. That's it, guys. Be strong, be humble, walk in purposeful manhood.